Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, all you precious Blood River Radio family out there, I'd just like to welcome you back to the second hour. We have a dynamite lineup. We have, you know, my sister, Miss Monica Schaefer, Miss AKA Miss Braveheart. We have Mr. Paul Fromm. I guess we could call him Freedom of Speech Canada. If I had a war, I'd give that to him. Before we go there, I would like to, if I can pull it up in a minute. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll wait to the next break. I want to pull up a text message that we got. We have a supporter, and we have our ears on the ground at the Texas border, and some things have been happening down there. After the next break, if I don't forget, maybe Miss Lizzie will remind me. I'd like to read you, just take me maybe 45 seconds to tell you what's going on at the Texas border, according to our great Blood River Radio listener. Anyway, so we got right now, we got my sister, Miss Braveheart Monica, and my brother, Mr. Canadian Freedom of Speech, Paul Fromm, and this is their hour, so I'm going to get out of their way, and I'm going to let the smarter people come on and take over this hour. How you doing, Mr. Paul?
Well, I'm Captain Canada, yes, full of vim and vigor. We're fighting this horrific Soviet-style piece of legislation that they call the Online Harms Act, but this is basically a way to censor the internet and put people in jail for up to life for violating the criminal code if the violation is motivated by hate against privileged groups, and you know what I mean. Race, religion, sex, sexual orientation, sexual confusedness, etc. So in other words, a simple incident where somebody cuts you off and you jump out of your car and you're furious, you punch them in the nose and break their nose. Okay, normally that would be assault causing bodily harm. I was talking to a longtime veteran of the penal system today. I said, well, that'd probably be a month in jail. He said, ha ha. Probably be $500 fine, if anything. However, if you punch him in his nose because he's, let's say, a Chinese, and you know, you say you're a lousy driver, all of you are lousy drivers, potentially, because that the act was motivated by hate against a privileged group, you could go to jail for life. Now, okay, maybe the judges wouldn't go that far, but potentially they could. You know, we are now into psycho, anti-white, anti-Christian, anti-heterosexual territory. We're governed by a madman.
No one knows any more about that than Monica Schaefer. Go ahead, Miss Monica.
Well, just to add to what Paul is saying about that bill, it gets worse, folks. You could be an anonymous complainant. You do not have to divulge, or at least the person who is accused never will know the name of his or her accuser, and that accuser can get $20,000 reward for making an anonymous complaint about you. And then it gets worse than that. There's a provision in the bill that allows for the potential that somebody thinks you will post something that's hate-based or hate-motivated. I mean, it really is, it's pretty bad. Anyway, I'm really grateful that Paul was able to come on and join us so short notice, because I wanted to bring something up, and it's This came to my attention because actually since we last talked, Eddie, 1 week ago, we had some very, very sad news here in Canada, and perhaps some of your listeners might remember the name Arthur Topham. And Arthur Topham was very, very important for me in my early years of waking up to what was going on. He was a really big influence for me. He used to have a print paper called The Radical. Then that started in 1998. In I think 3 or 4 years later, he went to an online publication that was called radicalpress.com. Then he started to learn, like, he was always an activist and he had always been writing letters and to, you know, editors and to politicians all his life, really. He was always, you know, trying to make the world a better place, like so many of us do try to do, right? And then when he was writing articles, he had a wide readership, and then some of the readers, they wrote letters to him and said, oh, you're wrong on this and you're wrong on that. And they thought, well, he's probably going to be like all the other newspaper people that are just going to ignore these things, because the people sending him good information, they were telling him about true history regarding World War II. And, you know, all of us, we have our journey of learning and waking up. And Arthur was not like the rest. He didn't ignore them or snub them, these people who were giving him true information. He said, oh, tell me more, you see. So that's a good, healthy response. And then he learned started going down the rabbit hole, and then he started writing about those things. And when he started to name who our enemy is, those eternal well poisoners, then those people went after him. Okay, so Arthur Topham went through a struggle for, I don't know, 12 or 15 years. I'm going to cut it to the chase here. He, unfortunately, we lost him last Saturday evening. He passed away. Arthur Topham died after an illness, and he is no longer with us. So that was last Saturday. And then I was digging for more information about him. I knew I had these papers in my basement, so I went and grabbed the one that jumped into my hand. It happens to be from November 2001. So we all remember what happened in September 2001. So this was right on the heels of 9/11, that fateful event. And the headline here is Kill Bill C-36. C-36. And that was our equivalent to your Patriot Act bill or something. The one that came in right after 9/11. The one that surely they had it all figured out before 9/11 happened. But then they brought it in really quickly after 9/11. And it would take a lot longer than that to create such a bill. Well, we had our own version of that, and it was called the Anti-Terrorism Bill. And I noticed something. This number, C-36, and when Paul started talking, he told us about this online harms bill called C-63. Those numbers happen to be identical, but just reversed. Is that a coincidence? Wow. Is that a coincidence, I ask? I'll just hand the mic back to one of you, and then we can talk some more about this.
Go ahead, Paul.
Well, it's you know, I'm not deeply into numerology, but, you know, it is an uncanny coincidence. And just like Bill C-63, which purports to, it has a number of goals, but they try to highlight it's going to protect children from being sexually exploited and revenge porn and so on, all, both of which are already against the law. But that's kind of a bait. But the Bill C-36 back there right after 9/11, that was going to be an anti-terrorism law. Because Canada was really pressured by the Americans. Our do-nothing government under Jean Chrétien didn't really even take the the Arab threat seriously, but America pretty much forced them to do something. What often happens is that they will incorporate all sorts of extraneous stuff into the bill. Well, what Arthur was probably talking about, and what I remember it well, they turned over the internet to the Canadian Human Rights Commission. So that was in notorious Section 13. So somebody can make a complaint for comments that were not criminal, but if they were likely to expose to hatred or even contempt one of the usual privileged groups, and that is
Paul,
not
we have to go to a quick break. We have to go to our first commercial break. Paul, be right back, brother. Be right back, folks.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I want to thank you again for holding on. And also, I'd like to thank Mr. Paul Fromm on the air. We had, believe it or not, one of our guests had to go at the last minute. And so I had to scramble around and get other people. And we have a list of great people coming on. Paul is one of the ones that come on, and I'd like to thank him again. In the Easter holiday, we were lucky to get him. He's sacrificing his time. But during the break, we were talking about something. I may do a little sidetrack here about numerology. People, you may believe it's a crock. I used to scoff at numerology, but let me tell you what. The most powerful people running this planet, they are heavy into it. They base their whole lives on this stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to finish this. We'll get Paul to explain what he's talking about. Like I said, they base their whole life on it. And the way they plan these events, and they come together like extremely complex events, you'd think not even a scientist, a PhD with computers could design a program work so precisely to come off. Well, I'm going to tell you flat out, you can call me a kook, but the reason they're so good at it is because they get their power from their father, the devil. And the devil is supernatural. He can do almost anything. He's not as powerful as God, but he can do stuff that you would think was impossible. These people that follow him are very heavy into numerology. I'm glad that Sister Braveheart brought that up. And Paul, my brother Paul, He wants to talk a little bit about that, what we were talking about when we were on the break. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I didn't mean to make light of the connection Sister Monica made, and we were on the break talking about the importance to that group of numbers, and there many of them are deeply into this Kabbalah, almost witchcraft, and numbers are very important. And one number is six, and that means evil, just like for a lot of Westerners, 13 is evil. They don't want to have a 13th floor on an apartment, but they're very superstitious people, and six is an evil number, and that's actually the origin of the 6 million. As we've discussed on previous programs, World War II was not the first time the 6 million figure had been kicked around. It had been used by Zionists for at least three times before in the previous century, talking about events in Russia. There were 6 million people being killed. Well, that was complete, I guess the nice word would be balderdash. The other word would be begins with bull. But you have to understand, being Europeans and realistic, if you tell me 6 million, I assume that's one more than 5,999,999. But in the Kabbalah, it has a mystical meaning. Six is evil, and million means many. So 6 million was really never meant to be an accurate figure of the death count. Either, in the last century when they were talking about the supposed persecution under the Tsars, or in the 20th century, whatever happened in National Socialist Germany. So, yeah, the numbers are important, and Sister Monica may be right. Maybe there is a connection, because certainly Bill C-36, 22 years ago, was very evil and was, among other things, after freedom of speech on the Internet. They're just terrified of people thinking and being able to express themselves freely.
Yes, this I read the article that was in the paper about C-36, this Anti-Terrorism Act. And you're right, Paul, this has a lot to do with freedom of speech, just like this current bill does as well. And at that time, this bill C-36, it encompassed many other acts that the provisions in many other acts could be changed without those acts specifically going through their own amendments. This act, this bill, was going to supersede sections of many other acts. Like, I'll just mention a few of them. It was going to amend the Criminal Code of Canada, of course, that's where it's going to be in, but the Official Secrets Act, the Canada Evidence Act, the Canadian Human Rights Act, the Immigration Act, the Proceeds of Crime Act, Access to Information Act, Canada Post Corporation Act, Personal Information Protection, Electronic Documents Act, Access to Information Act, Privacy Act, Seized Property Management, Canadian Security Intelligence, like CSIS, the Canadian, it just was going to be overarching to be able to amend all these other acts. And it did, like this, that bill did come into, it was passed, right? There's more. I didn't even read them all. So ethical, religious, and environmental arguments are not available as defenses to any alleged breach of this new law. Oh my goodness. I mean, this is just unbelievable. Well, but it passed, right? That was, this ties in to Arthur Topham, to Ernst Sandel, and you talked a lot about Ernst Sandel during the first hour with Fred Leuchter. This ties it all together, because Ernst Sandel, when he was yanked out of his home in Tennessee, in, when was that, Paul? Was that about it was after 2001. What, sorry?
2003, I think.
Yes, 2003. So this was shortly after this Bill C-36 was passed, and that affected him. He was thrown into a jail in the Toronto area. He was not allowed to know his accusers or the accusations. Again, this comes into play now with this new Act 63, where anonymous complainants can, you know, can say something, and you could be going to jail for life for it, for what these anonymous complainants bring to, you know, the government's attention. So Ernst Sandl, he was directly affected by this, this bill, the Terrorism Act, or the Anti-Terrorism Bill, the C-36, back in 2001. And they threw him in a dungeon for 2 years. He was in solitary confinement. They left the cell very, very cold. He was basically being tortured there. They left the lights on 24/7. It was really terrible. And then they extradited him to Germany, and then he went to jail for another 5 years there because he dared to not believe the 6 million lie, the 6 million lie that we've just been talking about. So we can tie all these things together. And I'm going to hand it back over to you, Paul, to comment.
Yeah, I was deeply involved in that case in assisting Ernst. The Canadian Association for Free Expression was a major player. And yeah, what they brought in with Bill C-36 was that the government could yank your status in Canada if you were a landed immigrant but not a citizen. All it took was the signature of two cabinet ministers, and the Minister of Immigration at that time was this combative little French Canadian with a Wayne Newton hairdo, Denis Coderre, and he was asked, well, what are you going to do about Ernst Sandl, because he'd been deported from the United States to Canada? And so he stuck his thumbs in his belt like a gunfighter, and he said, well, watch me. Well, okay, we watched him, and next thing you knew, Ernst was clapped in irons and was declared a threat to national security. And in the battle against that, we were never able to find out who the complainants were, and much of the evidence was secret, you know, national security. And what evidence did come out was laughable. I'll tell you one piece of public evidence. How was Ernst Sandl a terrorist? Because he was never charged with anything violent in Canada, never convicted of anything, paid all his taxes, you know, the ultimate law-abiding German. Well, here it is. Ernst Sandl had gone to a meeting where the National Alliance founder spoke.
William Luther Pierce, was it?
Yeah, Dr. William Luther Pierce, about, you know, maybe 30 years ago. Okay, he'd gone to the meeting, and he'd attended, and that was it. Okay, so Dr. Pierce supposedly wrote the Turner Diaries. Okay, the Turner Diaries talks about, revolutionary activities somewhere in the future. The man who allegedly blew up the Oklahoma City Federal Building read
Timothy
it
McVeigh.
And was influenced by McVeigh, all allegedly. Therefore, Ernst Sandl's a terrorist. I kid you not. Ernst Sandl never gave a penny to William Luther Pierce. He never joined the National Alliance. He never sold the book. He never knew McVeigh. The fact he attended a meeting, addressed by a man who wrote a book that some other man may or may not have been inspired by. Honest to goodness, I mean, this is nutsoid territory. And that's exactly what it's supposed to be.
Guilty by association. I have another story to tell about how this guilty by association that is not just being used by those who try to carry out these crazy laws, tyrannical laws, but then this seems to have made its way into the soft brains of the general population that has been so re-educated, as in, you know, poisoned with all these lies. I had somebody, very intelligent guy, and I'll tell the story after the break. I do hear the music coming, but this by association guilt, this is so pervasive. It's terrible.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can't wait to hear about that when we come back to break. People, go get you a glass of coffee and a cup of coffee or whatever. Be right back.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Laura Winters.
We are going to rise to meet this moment because we are Maryland tough and because we are Baltimore strong.
You're listening to Maryland Governor Democrat Wes Moore on the latest on the Baltimore Bridge collapse. The White House says that President Biden will be visiting the site next week. The Navy busy bringing in big cranes on barges to assist workers in lifting the remains of the mangled bridge from the water.
The big part, and one of the challenges, is that the key bridge, which sits on top of the vessel right now, that weight is somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 tons.
Prayers in Hebrew at the funeral service for former Senator Joe Lieberman in his hometown of Stamford, Connecticut. Lieberman, the first Jewish vice presidential candidate back in 2000, on the ticket with Al Gore, the former vice president, at the service Friday.
We laughed together, fought like hell together for what we wanted our country to be, prayed together. Thought for a season we had won together, but, and, well, you know that part of the story. You win some, you lose some, and then there's that little known third category.
Lieberman passing away from complications after falling. He was 82 years old. In USA News for your health, the CDC reporting the first human case of swine flu in the U.S. this year. Doctors think a child in Pennsylvania caught the virus after being in contact with pigs. Occasionally, this infection can jump to humans. And airports across the country very busy this Easter weekend with lots of families traveling not only for the holiday, but for spring break. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit cspoa.org today. The time to act is now. cspoa.org.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Smell of napalm in the morning. Smells like victory.
Here on Blood River Radio, family, I appreciate you hanging out. I'm really enjoying this hour right here. I enjoy almost all of our shows. I always love it when we have Paul in. Paul's been in this movement. He's been a fighter for, I guess, since what, the late 60s, early 70s, Paul?
Late 60s.
I mean, that's a long time. I mean, the guy's been fighting his heart out. Just only by the grace of God has Paul escaped jail in Canada, in communist Canada. I guess it's probably worse now than the United States. It's probably as bad, maybe worse in Germany. You think it's worse in Germany now, Paul?
Germany is a complete intellectual police state. It is so pathetic. Now wants to question would-be citizens to make sure that they have the right views about another country, Israel. How pathetic! A great nation has been so just destroyed by anti-German hatred, and they've imbibed the beliefs of their oppressors. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, well, Sister Monica, you know, the poison of the well, the Jews, it never ceases to amaze me. And sometimes I think, is it really true? But in my opinion, Sister Monica, I think the Jews are pretty well conquered the entire Western world, be it the United Kingdom.
They're in their end game. They are in panic mode. They're in their end game because they will ultimately, I mean, they are deficit. Sorry, they do not have soul, they do not have spirit, and when they're done at the end of this, they will be nothingness, like there will be nothingness, and I think they know it, that their time is up on this earth, and so that's why they're pulling out all the stops right now. That's my take.
Echoing what you're saying, a commentator whose name it absolutely slips my mind, but one of the ones who commented on Bill C-63 said that this is the action of a desperate, dying government. These are not the sort of anti-free speech, brutal penalty type of legislation. It's not the legislation of a confident, secure group of people. This is the flailing around of a collapsing regime.
It is. It's the flailing of a dying animal. I'd like to just tie something together from what you were talking about before this last break, Paul, because you said that you dug for what was Ernst Zundel being accused of, and that was very difficult to find anything at all, and then you found something that was to do with, he was guilty by association because of a meeting he attended of, you know, William Luther Pierce, right? Okay, so this is really interesting, because this phrase, everybody knows that phrase, oh, guilty by association, and you gave an instance where it was actually in law that somebody was guilty by association, or in, you know, blots of toner on paper, I'll call it, that they made Ernst Zundel guilty by association. Well, it also has gotten to the point that ordinary people have basically ingested that guilty by association. Here's an example. So I had a very good friend. They're no longer friends now, but I used to make music with them, and he was just a brilliant guy, and in his work too. He was a forester and just very talented. But you know, when at the time that I was attending Arthur Topham's speech crime trial, this was 2015, and then the following year the constitutional challenge 2016, and I was putting stuff on Facebook at the time, and I do believe it was 2015, the actual initial trial, and I was saying to people, you know, doesn't matter what it's about. The topic doesn't matter here. This is really going to affect everybody because it's a matter of, do we have freedom of speech or not in Canada? So we all should be supporting Arthur Topham in this battle because he's fighting for all of us, for our basic freedom of speech. And then I put a link to, you know, there was probably a GoFundMe page or something like that. Anyway, I had this friend put a comment under that Facebook post at the time, the one who was super intelligent and nice guy, and, you know, and he says, oh, okay, well, Monica, I checked out, you know, I researched Arthur Topham, and I found his site there, and I found one of his recent posts, and one of his recent posts at the time was an obituary to Douglas Christie, who had just died not too long before that. Oh. And the post was really complimentary to Douglas Christie. Now, in my friend's mind, all he knew about Douglas Christie was that, ooh, that was that guy who defended Ernst Zundel in Toronto in those Holocaust trials. So he thought any lawyer that would defend this evil Holocaust denier must be a bad guy. And so here's Arthur Topham writing something nice about Douglas Christie, the guy who defended Ernst Zundel. Now, that's the third degree of association. Yes. So he wasn't going to support Arthur Topham in this battle. He didn't care, frankly, what happened to Arthur Topham in this battle for freedom of speech. That was that. Can you imagine that? I mean, I'm laughing now because it's just so ridiculous.
Talk about brain damaged. Doug Christie, in his early years, was a very successful defense lawyer defending a lot of drug pushers and murderers. And yet nobody would say, well, Doug Christie, well, he defended drug pushers and murderers. Why is it when he defended a person who committed no violence, who had just unusual beliefs, that somehow makes him evil? That's something I would like to throw at, you know, your friend there, if, you know, I had ever had a chance to talk to him or meet him. Why would, if you look at a person, a lawyer's client, and you don't have problems with a lawyer defending a murderer or an armed robber or a drug dealer, but you have problems with defending a man who has unusual beliefs? Well, I don't get it. Besides, everybody under Anglo-Saxon law deserves a defense. That's how our system is set up. Are you saying Ernst Zundel didn't deserve a defense?
That's exactly what he was saying, yeah. Paul.
Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, Monica? I could get in trouble because I may go, pass out some pamphlets or get on the internet and say, well, I heard Marcus Schaefer talking about Arthur Topham, and the man was criticizing him because he said something nice about Doug Christie, and then that could be five removed. I mean, how far away can you get removed? But, you know, yeah. I know this probably has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but in a way it does, because it has to do with brainwashing. I was down to stairs. Everybody listens to this show. Most people know about it. I talk about these stairs. I go up and down. And I saw this pretty woman, real pretty, and she was coming up the stairs one time. And she said something about, I'm always wearing these St. Jude Hero hats and stuff. She said, you're the St. Jude? Yeah, I'm doing this to get ready for a marathon. One thing led to another. And here's how I got to talking to her. There was busload after busload of black children being dropped off at the Tom Lee Park, that's up the hill about 200 feet from where I, in elevation from where I was running the stairs. Now, I pointed out, I said, you know, have you noticed that, you know anything unusual about those kids? There's like 200-300 little blacks, little nigglets running around all over. And all the leaders are white. The teachers, the guardians are all white. I said, that is just really spooky. That scares me. Well, she goes, guess what church she goes to? Bellevue Baptist. How many times have you ever heard me napalm Bellevue Baptist? She said, she let me know she's going to this, not Nairobi, not Zimbabwe. It was one of these really horrible black African countries. She's going back up there to as a missionary. God knows the Baptists love their missionaries. They love missionaries. I said, you know, you're 25 years old, you're a beautiful woman, you're a blue-eyed blonde, you know you're going to get raped over there. Well, that didn't go over too good. And I said, here you are, you're 25 years old, you have no husband, you have no children, you have no prospects, you're white. I said, that's so typical in what's going on here in the United States. We're being taught, not white people being taught, don't get married, don't have children, you need to take care of all these other blacks. I said, and ask her, I said, you do realize that there's 29 states in the lower 48 United States where the death rate of white people or exceeds the birth rate. We're going extinct. And I ask her, why in the hell are you going over there to take care of all these blacks? When she gets off on this thing, and I'm a Christian, well, Jesus loves me. And I said, well, why can't Jesus, what about South Africa? Well, I'll wrap this up when we come back to the break. I didn't mean to go so long. But let's be right back after this quick break.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Go ahead, make my day.
Radio family. I'm going to hurry up and finish this story because I don't want to take up too much time. But we'll go back to the stairs. And most of the people listening to Blood River know about me and my never-ending struggle with these stairs downtown. I do what they call cross training. And I was talking about, I was on the stairs last week, and this beautiful white woman, tall, athletic, 25-ish, and she informed me she was, first of all, she had no husband, no children, and no potential, nothing, no marriage in the future, nothing. And she was being sent over to this darkest of Africa country. But guess who? Bellevue Baptist Church. How many times have y'all heard me napalming the Southern Baptist, and it's specifically Bellevue Baptist Church? They're taking these young, these precious young white people, and society is telling them, oh, if you're white, we have to watch out for the ozone layer and the carbon footprints and global warming.
Dear.
So you can't have children. But what you need to do, you need to go over to Africa. And I told her, they're breeding like flies over there. You know, you'll never, I said, people have been going to Africa for centuries. They've never changed. You yourself, you just said you've been over there twice and to spread the word of Jesus. I'm going to make this story short. I said, I guarantee you, I'll bet you, I've read about this, there's not one place on earth that you can go that where some missionary has not been there. My dad in the Pacific Island Hopping Campaign, New Guinea, Guadalcanal. They have missionaries go there. You're wasting your time. I said, you realize the people, white people, we established in this conversation, the white people, whites are a dying race. We're being forced into oblivion. Why don't you have some of this love of Jesus that you have and spread the love of Jesus to some of your own people? How about going to South Africa where they have hundreds of white orphans over there? But there was no, they have this sardonic smile, Monica and Paul. She could just smile and say, well, I just have the love of Jesus in my heart. But see, I'd say, well, don't you realize, can't you spread the love of Jesus? And the point I'm making is, brainwashed. I mean, it was scary. The smile never come out for this woman's face. It was like it was welded on.
Like a clown mask, right?
Yes,
a clown mask,
yes. A sardonic smile. It's like she was a robot, a freaking robot. But anyway, it's brainwashing. But anyway, I know I went too long with that story, but and I don't know who. But go ahead, take over, Monica.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that we don't forget to mention Leslie Borey, who I've mentioned many times on this program, a political prisoner in Canada, in Ontario, in one of the worst prisons in Canada. And we've talked about him a few times before. I'm going to hand this over to Paul now to talk about what you've been doing there, and you had something going on yesterday.
Yeah, I believe that as supporters of free speech and as white people, we must stand with and behind people who suffer for their beliefs. And Leslie Borey is a good example. He was dragged from his place of work in handcuffs, full police hit squad with guns out, rifles out, the sort of high impact takedown that may go on a lot in the States but doesn't go on very often in Canada. Anyway, you might wonder, well, what was that all about? Well, he had posted a pretty hard hitting critique on his weekly TV show on the internet. And he was charged with uttering threats, which is against certain groups, which is a relatively minor charge. I mean, it's all talk. He's been in jail ever since February 14th of last year, unable to get bail. People accused of murder regularly get bail, but Leslie is political and, of course, the wrong politics, and he's been in prison now for over 500 days, and will probably be there until his trial, which might be next January. So what the Canadian Association for Free Expression has done now, this was the third time yesterday, is we have a protest outside the prison. Free Leslie Borey, and you know, we make the point about bail being denied, and that he's a non-violent man with ideas. And yeah, some people don't like the ideas, but under our system, that's not supposed to deny you bail, because you know we have to keep remembering the Anglo-Saxon justice system says you are innocent until proven guilty.
True.
There's been no proof. There's been no trial. There's been nothing. Yeah, and normally, you know, a person accused of a crime should be accorded reasonable bail, and Leslie is not being. It's kind of funny. Twice, when we've had a little protest, authorities come out from the prison, and they nicely tell us, "Oh, well, you're on public property, so you know you can have your little protest." And they ask what it's about, and they, okay, here are the signs. And one or two of our people had masks on. And they didn't like that. They said, well, some people are upset because a couple of your people have masks on. And well, one of our guys said, I lost my job because I wouldn't wear a mask. What are you telling me? And you know, I pointed out, look, you've got the guns, you've got the barbed wire, you're inside, we're outside, none of us is trying to get inside the prison, nobody's threatened. I mean, what snowflake has a problem with somebody wearing a mask? I mean, I personally don't approve, but
this if that ain't gaslighting or what. And I mean, what did we just do for the last few years about masks? Yeah, you used to not be allowed in a bank if you had a hoodie on, let alone a mask, and then they forced you to wear masks everywhere. And now they're worried about a couple of people wearing a mask at a protest outside on public sidewalk. Oh, I just can't believe it. This is in clown world. It's insanity. Wow. Sorry, I just had to interject.
It really is clown world. Well, yesterday our theme was today is Good Friday, you know, praise the Lord, but it's not a Good Friday for political prisoner or less poor. And that was our lead in. Yesterday nobody came out to bother us because being a holiday, they'd be on very short staff. So probably nobody was prepared to go out there and get cold because it was a cold, windy day. So they left us in peace.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. What a story. So yeah, I would just want to add something about Leslie Borey. To put Leslie Borey in jail is kind of like if you put the weather forecaster into jail because the weather forecaster told you that there's a humongous blizzard on its way and you should just prepare. That's all.
That's a great analogy. That's a great analogy.
Yeah,
you know,
well, it's because the whole thing is it's because he mentioned one of the privileged groups in Canada. If it, you know, if he'd been denouncing Christians or white males, no problemo. But you know, he had some strong views on one of the groups that you're not allowed to criticize.
That's right. The one you're not allowed to criticize, that they make laws everywhere that you're not allowed to criticize lest you be called anti-Semitic. And if you're anti-Semitic, well, that's pretty much in the Soviet Union, it was death penalty. And now it's life in prison in Canada. And where is that leading? I mean, I suppose they would have liked to put the death sentence on into that Bill C-63, but they couldn't quite get away with being that blatant so quickly, could they now, Paul? Because people might notice.
Yeah. Well, the Liberal Party, the gang in power now, and they've been in power for on and off for 40 years, they were the ones that abolished capital punishment years ago. It would be a bit of a stretch. I mean, we don't have capital punishment for mass murderers. So it'd be a bit of a stretch. Paul Bernardo can sit in jail. He was accused of a number of rapes and murders. He can sit in jail, but somebody who has the wrong opinion about a privileged minority will get executed. Well, that might be a little bit too much right now, but give it 10 years. I'm really disturbed by Monica's story, though, about the friend that was prepared to basically drop their friendship because of guilt by association. She supported Arthur Topham. Arthur Topham had a favorable comment about Doug Christie, who was a lawyer, never charged with anything, a brilliant lawyer. I mean, that level of screwed up thinking, it makes me worry about this country. It really does.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You know, if I have enough time, I'd like to ask y'all, what signs do y'all think that we'll see if people ever do break? You know, the KGB agent, I can never remember his name, who said that once the young people go past the second stage of brainwashing, I think we're probably third stage, fourth stage, but now, once they go past that stage, there's no waking them up.
Yuri Betsmanov.
I wonder if we'd ever see if that ever happened. Well, before we go, you know, Paul, I don't know. I don't think, would you like to hang on and talk, to say hello? Have you ever worked with Sam Dixon before, Paul?
Oh, heavens, yes. I know Sam well.
Would you like to? Oh, well, great. Hey, would you like to come on? He's going to be on. Would you like to come on and say a few things with him?
Where is
the
he
next
going to be
hour?
On next?
The next hour.
Yeah, sure.
He's coming up next. You want to?
He says,
oh, yeah,
sure. Yes.
Okay.
I have to make a very brief phone call. Could you get your producer to call me back?
Sure. I will do. We'll call you right back.
Great. We'll be there.
Oh, Sam's calling now.